Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. What kind of person do you really want to be? Well, with many people, they want to be the kind of person that God wants us to be. Friend, God created man, and he gave him life, and he made him a spirit. He placed him in the perfection and sinlessness of the Garden of Eden. But man departed from the Lord by a violation of God's instructions concerning the fruit of the garden. And by that transgression, sin came into the world, Romans 5:12, and all have sinned, Romans 3:23. In sin, we're not the kind of person God wants us to be. But here's the good news of the gospel. We can be what God wants us to be. But before that will be the case, we must have an earnest desire to be what God wants us to be. And that begins with the heart of man wanting to please God, and continuing with man's learning just what kind of person God wants us to be. Now I want us to center our thoughts for a while on the kind of person God wants us to be. I suggest that God wants a person to be a self-examiner, paying close attention to himself, lest we go astray. Paul warned the elders of Ephesus, "Take heed unto thyselves," Acts 20:28. Well, that's useful for all of us. You know, we're sometimes so busy watching the other fella, and we take note of his mistakes, that we're not mindful of enough of our own lives. We hear a sermon, and we make application to somebody else rather than to ourselves. It's like the story of the time that the preacher began his lesson by saying, "Now some member of this church has been heard cursing last week," and then he preached against the sin of the tongue, and he knew one man was guilty because he had heard him curse. But when the people were leaving and several members told him that they had been guilty and they were sorry, except the one who knew to be guilty, and that person simply said, "You sure did set him straight this morning, preacher." You see, he didn't apply the truth to himself. In eating the Lord's Supper, he did not apply the lessons that he ought to have learned. "But let a man examine himself," Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:28. Self-examination is emphasized in Romans, the second chapter. "But we are sure that the judgment of God according to truth against them that commit such things, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" In restoring those who are fallen, Paul taught, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Galatians 6:1. Christ once said, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Matthew 7. Yes, God wants people who will examine themselves. And God wants a busy person. You know, when you want something done, you don't ask the person who doesn't have anything to do. You ask the person who's a busy person. Why? Because the busy person is the man that works. God wants people busy doing the work that must be done. The lazy, trifling, no active type of person, they won't get anything done. And we might ask, how can we be busy in the work of the Lord? Now, friend, we may be guilty of only wanting to work when some prominence might come our way as a result. Prayer for the sick, for the family, for the church, for the nation. You know, that may never be heard from you by others, but don't you know that God hears? Talking one-on-one with a neighbor about the soul, that may not bring you a claim, but it may save a soul. Being faithful in worship, inviting others, visiting the needy, reading the scriptures, that may not bring you brotherhood notoriety, but what of that? You're busy doing what God wants done. Your day-to-day work, whether it be in the home, on the job, wherever, that might seem insignificant to those around you, but you will be doing what God wants done. You're being busy in the things that are right. Too many of us want to be like the man who prayed for the Lord to use him only in an advisory capacity. Many are willing to work when it's notable. Many are willing to complain and criticize and advise others. How many of us are really willing to be busy workers? I suggest to you that God wants a person who examines himself, and God wants a person who is busy at work. And then again, God wants a person who is cooperative. All the church, after all, is to be fitly joined together. Ephesians 4:16. Doesn't this imply cooperation among the brethren? Unity, harmony, being fitly joined together, friend, that's a mark of Christianity. Nobody even likes that person who always has to have his own way and will never cooperate with others. Have you ever watched children at play, and you notice what happens to the child that insisted everything must be just as he calls it? Soon the others will leave him alone. And the same thing is true on the adult level. Friend, God is not pleased with that uncooperative person who's unwilling to sacrifice himself for the benefit and for the good of other people. In the New Testament, we find Christian fellowship, joint participation, brethren working hand in hand and heart together. And this demands cooperation. It is only because there is cooperative spirit that we can have Bible study periods, gospel meetings, worship services, our efforts to preach the gospel near and far. Oh, it's a sad spectacle when someone exhibits the attitude that he doesn't have the responsibility to others to be working alongside for the common good of the church. God wants people who will look upon all matters of the church as my work, not their work, but my work. And we must support the work of the Lord's church and be cooperative with others under the leadership of the eldership. And a lack of this attitude, it hinders the progress and the cause of Christ. But I suggest to you that God wants people who love and also who hate. You know, the same ability that enables one to love will also equip him to hate. This is a powerful emotion, love and hate. You see, there are things that God hates, just as there are things that God loves. Now we read in John 3, God so loved the world. He's talking about the people of the world. Solomon wrote also in Proverbs 6, these six things does the Lord hate. And then he listed some things that God hates. And those who love God will love what God loves, and those who love God will hate what God hates. God wants us to love the truth and to demonstrate that love. To love God means that we will love His truth and will obey it. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. And in 1 John 5 and verse 3, John wrote, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. We show our love for the truth, friend, by believing it, and by obeying it, and by living according to it, and defending it against attack, teaching it to all those who will hear. By doing this, we're able to obey the two greatest commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And Jesus said, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Yes, God wants us to love one another. Paul wrote, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. He said, now abideth faith, hope, and love. But these three, the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13. The word most often used in the original language of the Bible to depict love is the word agape. And the real meaning of that word is a sacrificial love, a love that seeks the other person's highest good. We show our love by being long-suffering, not quick to condemn, not hesitant to condemn when the soul is at stake, however. Love is kind and pleasant and friendly. It is without envy. When we love someone, we're not interested in showing ourselves better than they are with self-righteousness. We're not primarily interested in seeking our own selves. We grieve over the errors of anyone, even ourselves, and we will have a forgiving attitude toward those round about us. You see, God loves certain things. He wants us to love those same things. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after love. But as I have noted, God wants us to hate every false way because he does. God hates sin because sin destroys the sinner, and God loves the sinner. He sent his son to die on the behalf of the sinner. We too must hate sin and love the sinner. We must learn to despise and abhor that which is evil, Romans 12 and verse 9. And those who look lightly upon such things that keeps one separated from God, we've not yet learned to hate the things that God hates. Sin ought to be so repulsive to us that we would abstain from the appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. We've noted how people sometimes laugh at the antics of those who are drunk, but let us be impressed. There's nothing funny about any kind of sin. God wants us to be people who are obedient to his will. You see, when God speaks, man is to hear and heed. Samuel said to Saul, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. 1 Thessalonians 15:22. What's he saying? Oh, yes, it's good to worship God, God's way. But he wants us to be obedient. Christ is the author of salvation, as we mention over this program repeatedly, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Is it possible, when we read the will of God, that we do not weigh it and measure it as we ought? And we fail to see what is required of us, and we need to consider the evidence in Scripture and try to be the kind of person that God wants. Obedience is to do what God says because God said it. We don't have to understand all the reasons why God might have commanded certain things, but we try to do his will. That's what a person does when he wants to be the kind of person God wants. And when we have faith in God, like God wants us to have, when we love the truth, we will love what God loves. We will hate what God hates. We will be found trying to learn the will of God and be obedient and submissive to his will because we want to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.